Thanks very much for the invitation. I will try to tell you something fun. I draw some pictures here, but I will explain what's happening. It's very nice that Nick gave a talk on uniformism on Monday, so I don't need to explain anything about it anymore. Basically set up the notations and try to explain something in the quantum world. I mean, so the motivation for this work is the following. The original motivation is to understand basically the quantum beam model. Like on Calabi-Yau by this kind of like closed spring field theory. And in the B side is basically this kind of like a BCOE theory. And in particular, you want to understand this kind of formula, like you try to compute commuting invariance of something, counting higher genus curve to the elliptic curve. And definitely, you're going to write this one as some kind of higher index of the elliptic curve. And this is computed from the B-side point of view. That's the original motivation in a 2D case. Okay, and that's something pretty much we got a very definite answer. The second motivation actually is more a little bit vague. Like, is to try to ask like why like integral hierarchy like appear naturally in B model, for example. I don't have an answer for this one, but there's some kind of weak thing that I was trying to say that, for example, you try to study Dirac's string vertex. At some point, some kind of this kind of thing should explain basically integral hierarchy. And I don't know what I'm talking about for this sentence, so question mark. But I will just probably point out some hints at the end of the talk. I don't know the answer. And also, like, the third motivation basically is to get some kind of general theory for these chiral deformations and chiral index. And this is a place we're going to set up some kind of quantum mass equation, so on. And finally, this is also one of the main motivation, is to understand the relation between almost holomorphic modular form and with some kind of quasi-modular form. Okay, you think about this one as like this comes from a 2D integral, integrating over some kind of elliptic curve. And this also, but this one comes from some kind of 1D integral, some way. And there's a relation between these two by so-called Tauber goes to infinity limit. And it's a little bit bizarre for this stuff, like also comes for this holomorphic anomaly. And you can see an example here, like it's like a theta diagram for Feynman diagram. Like this is a P, this is a propagator, it's gonna be this Weierstrass P function plus some corrections. This is like E2 star, which is a correction by E2 by this term, which is not holomorphic. But this one, the whole thing it has a modular property. And if you try to compute a 2D integral for this guy, in the renormalized sense, you'll find like this is expressed in this kind of like E2, E4, E2 star, E4, E6, which is almost holomorphic modular form. And now when you take Tauber goes to infinite limit, this E2 just become E2 star just become E2, and you'll find like this integral is recovered by this acyclic integrals of this of basically the where should I be function. That's usually actually was computed, also this computed by Michael Douglas, I believe, probably, for just a light integral. Anyway, that comes from something like a 2D integral. And I will try to explain this phenomenon as well. That's the motivation. So now, basically for BV, I will just set up the basic notation for the story. So this is a general way to quantize some kind of theory with gauge symmetries. Directly, we're going to work with the following setup. Like, I'm going to work with the triple. Call this one a differential BV. And this A here is basically a graded commutative algebra. This is a grading. And Q basically is a differential derivation, a degree zero, a degree one. And the delta is the BV operator. And for here, my degree convention is this is one as well. The second order, and the failure of this one being a derivation is the BV bracket. So this is going to be called a BV bracket. And this is compatible with the DG structure, so that's the basic setup. And the Nick explains good explanation for this physical meaning, so I will just start from here. Now, we're going to deal with the following object. First one is called a classical master equation. It's an element, a degree zero element in this algebra, satisfying the following equation, Qi naught. Plus bracketing is zero. It's a DG version of this one, the classical mass equation. And similarly, for the quantum mass equation, there will be an element with h-bar corrections satisfying this quantum mass equation. And you can see easily that setting h bar goes to zero recovers this equation, basically. And it's the same thing as writing, people sometimes writing this way. OK, that's the basic setup. Now, let me explain the basic toy model. I mean, this one toy is from physics point of view, because this is only finite dimensional, but explain some basic yoga. So suppose this is a DG vector space for toy mode. I really mean like something like essentially finite dimensional. We'll come back to the infinite dimensional case later on. And suppose now, this is going to be a DG sympatic space, like we call a sympatic form of degree minus one. So it's going to be minus one sympatic. And the nice thing is that I can start from here to cook up this kind of data as follows. So first of all, you can look at the Poisson kernel of this guy. The kernel is going to be the inverse. This sympatic form, I can definitely look view this kernel as an element by sim 2 of the vector space, and which has degree 1. And starting from start from this BV kernel, you can basically cook up this this algebra and these operators, for example, my algebra here, it's going to be functions on this V. And I really mean like a formal power series, for example, for simplicity. And this B-way operator associated to this kernel, it's like order two differential operator, which is given by contracting with this kernel. And so it's an element from CMN to CMN minus two. By contracting two of the elements here by this kernel. And in this way, you can cook up a differential B-way algebra. Let's call this one data A. It's a function on this space. And it's a differential, and it's B-way. That's going to be our toy model. And a lot of discussions will come from here. What's happening? It's too unclear. Ah, all right.
I think there might be an hour.
Okay, now we try to be a lot more serious. Like we're going to work on quantum field theory examples. And this is too naive. So,
can I ask a
question? Yes.
Yes. How comes the inverse of anti-symmetric things?
Ah, good question. Like, because this is like all symplectic, means like the dual of this one is identified with the shifted one of this vector space, means like it changed boson to fermion, fermion to boson.
Okay.
So you change the parity basically because of this minus one shift.
Okay.
Right. So now we're going to move on to the real life. Some kind of QFT case. So it's actually get more subtle that, for example, we're going to work with something, some field theory living on a manifold. And now let's try to copy what we have just said about this toy model. Now, I just cook up the data one by one. The first one, I need a vector space. In the infinite dimensional case, this vector space is going to be replaced by smooth sections of some vector bundles. I'm going to call this one E. And this is definitely, it's infinite dimensional, very infinite dimensional, smooth sections. That's OK. This is a nice vector space. Now, second, I need a differential structure, the Q. And usually, this will become something local in the story. It comes from local structure, differential locally. It's going to be an elliptic complex. For example, behave like a Durham complex, things like that. So this differential becomes local. That's also OK. We can work with something like that. Yeah, it's just like you have like the wrong, for example, D bar or D operator.
X derivatives doesn't change the
same. Ah, E's sheet, not
a. No, let's look back again. Like, we need a symplectic structure. And, it's OK. We can cook up some symplectic structure by some local pairing, which is OK. This is going to be some local pairing, and you get some kind of density or differential forms, and it integrates. That's something quite common. It's OK. Now, let's look back again. We need this kind of algebra V, A, which is given by functions on V. So the first thing we need is the V dual. And this first thing, like this is the place we get studied, so a little bit tricky. So the dual of this vector space, this one's vector space has a like subtle topology. And we take the dual. The natural thing is that this is going to be a distribution, for example. That's also OK. We know what is a distribution. No problem. Then we need like algebras, like tensor product and things like that. So for example, if you take tensor product, We can also take completed tensor product for this kind of distributions. And there's going to be distribution on the product space, which is also OK. Not a big problem. And copies. And in particular, we have a nice notion of whatever this function is. So this is also well defined as a mathematical object. So far, so good. Then, next. The next thing started to get a little bit tricky. Like, we need to get the inverse. Yes? Formal power series. Like, I really mean something like that. Yeah. So you know what is this one is. I mean, from this definition, you know what this definition is.
And it's very nice.
Distributions on the part. Well, it's like all the Feynman diagrams give you some crazy distributions anyway, so non-local distribution. Now the last thing become very subtle is the kernel. So we want to cook up some B-way operator. We need to take the inverse of this guy. And the inverse of this kernel, which is given by local parent like integrals, is going to be like a delta functions. Support it on a diagonal. Okay, that's going to be related to this kind of UV stuff. But anyway, let's pretend we can keep going. Then you got this problem, UV problem. You try to define this operator, like this B-way operator, acting on this distributions. And naively, this is going to be ill-defined. Just because like you cannot pair a distribution with another distribution. So this is like a famous UA problem in this quantum field theory. And we need to do some kind of renormalization stuff. And that's the main stuff I'm going to talk about. Now, there's a very nice way of doing this. This renormalization introduced by Kevin Costello. I will just explain a little bit. Yeah, probably I don't need to say too much. Like even before, everybody knows this stuff. So, not really.
Some of us have been thinking it for years.
Okay. Okay, let's call it Costello's homotopy renormalization. It's probably just 1 minute for this one. Like, yeah. But the basic idea is very simple, actually. It's that if you compute cohomology of the distribution, it's the same isomorphic to the cohomology of the smooth stuff. This is like elliptic regularity. So what Kevin did is that, although this is like a singular distribution, this is distribution, which is a singular stuff. So we can replace it by something homotopically, so something smooth. Plus Q of something. So this is going to be smooth. And this is going to be like a parametrics. That's how you do the smoothing. You know this can be always done by this property. Anyone done? So basically, you can cook up, you can use this guy to define your new B-way operator because now it's smooth. You can definitely pair a smooth guy with a distribution. There's no problem to get a new BV algebra. Let's call this one BV with respect to a particular regularization. It's a triple these distributions, if there are differential or some Qs, and with respect to this renormalized BVL operator, it got a BVL algebra, like a rigorous defined. And the cartoon is the following, like, in the very beginning, somehow you're sitting here, like, you try to do some quantum field theory for infinite dimensional stuff, and you get very frustrated. And then you go to some regularization, you get a very nicely behaved BVL algebra, and they can definitely do different stuff, like you can pick up whatever regularization you want. And definitely see like the way you choose different regularization will give you another homotopy between these two. So I'm gonna call this one like homotopic RG flow, relating these two stuff. So the way of doing this is like, I forgot about this point and try to remember every nearby point and the relation between them. So make this one happy. That's the basic idea. Okay, that's all I want to say about this BV. Any questions so far? I move on to some what if the algebra and good examples. Okay. So I've been many discussing the case when x is two dimensional here. So it's definitely going to be related to the vertex algebra. This map?
Yes.
Yes. For example, if you choose different regularizations, differ by something smooth, you view this one as a propagator. So the relation of these two is like starting from this one, they're given by all possible Feynman diagrams from view this one as a vertex and this one as a propagator for the homotopy.
Completely,
the
map between the
E's.
There's a map between the functions and
the. Yeah. The map between all E's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Q.
Yes.
Yes.
Complex A.
Yeah. I mean, basically with this operator. Yeah. Interturns this operator.
Is this same as local computer?
The here, like the way you see from the start here is basically you need these counter terms and corner corrections and so on. Yes, that's right. Some kind of corner corrections for the mass equation and so on. So if you view everything from this point of view. Another way of saying this is like you can pick some scale, do this usual counter term technique and take some very defined limit to get this point and so on. That's another way of saying this unhappy person. So. Okay. Now, I move on to discuss this kind of vertex algebra and its relation with this kind of this unhappy person. Probably take 2 minutes for this vertex algebra. It's a parameter institute, right? So, I don't want to say too much, but just some key things I will use basically. So, one of the most important things about this set field correspondence. And so, basically, you have a way to turn this guy acting on itself. So I'm gonna call this one the map like A goes to AZ expanded in some kind of operators. And so that's the mode expansion of this operator. And there are a bunch of axioms and so on, like a vacuum, translations, and so on. I will not mention too much. Locality, blah, blah, blah. And the most important thing for us is about this OPE. For example, given two fields in this way, you fusion them, and expand them in terms of something like some operators, a tower of operators acting on this guy, will become a new field. That's also the familiar story. Okay, that's all I'll say about this vertex algebra. Now, the one thing that is going to be very important for us is that we can naturally associate a Lie algebra from this vertex algebra, basically by collecting all the possible modes. So I don't know a good name or notation for this one, so I will just use this mode expansion of this vertex algebra. Should be a good name. I don't know. What is the formal name for this, official name? This is given by all the expansions, basically all the modes. So in particular, this just means like this kind of modes. This is the definition.
What does that notation mean? Oh,
never mind. That's you can take this definition. It's the modes of this operator and expand it.
Proportional.
Yeah. The usual commutator is computed by taking residues. This is the usual story. So this one becomes a Lie algebra. Okay. No official name? I really doubt. There must be an official name for this guy. But anyway. Now, just all the modes, of these operators. Okay. So here's a basic example that I will be working all through my talk. It's that a star is, for example, a superspace. And with degree zero, symplectic pairing. This is going to be a system of like a beta gamma or PC system, things like that. And so this one can generate a vertex algebra, like denoted by V and H. So the generating fields for this guy is given by, for every element here, I associate a field. For example, every element. And OP between two fields here are described by exactly this pairing and the pole order. So I work in a simplified case. Like I work only for this beta gamma or BC system. So it's going to be this kind of OP. Sorry? Yes. Oh gosh. That's right. And that's OPE, which determines what is the algebra.
Do you take this process with the dimensional one,
half? Yeah, actually, I need to shift also, like, it possibly be rational conform of it. It's also okay, but let me focus on simply like integers and so on. But it can be like a rational.
Are they
spin half fields? This one?
Yeah.
This can be spin half.
Because
yeah.
You're judging them metrically
for now,
right?
Yeah, this is like a. Then I'm about to specify the conformal weight for a particular element. Yes, but it works for this case as well. Okay, so basically, some kind of a. This vertex algebra as a vector space. As a vector space, it's going to be spanned by all possible expressions. For example, like some kind of chi operators. which somehow generates this Fox space. So this is normal order product. I mean, I've never write down normal order product in my talk, but this always means that. And it's basically a bunch of beta gamma plus this BC system. Essential. That's one example. Okay. I can do much more complicated stuff, but let me just focus on the simplest example. Now I move on to discuss the quantum field theory case. And try to explain what's really happening for this homotopy renormalization and this kind of vertex algebra. Again, I gotta work with the simplest case, like when 2D stuff is flat. If the curve is star C, this linear, my holomorphic linear coordinate is V with flat metric. Okay. Now, I can specify a bunch of my like field content. I need to specify my space of field and simple structures and so on. So for example, my infinite dimensional space of field, in the chiral case, is going to be double complex. Valued in some vector space. And it's going to be degree zero symplectic. Okay. And now, on this space, it's an infinite dimensional space, I can associate a minus one shifted symplectic structure. By, for example, with a pair of two fields, you get using this symplectic pairing on this H. And then you can integrate. And because of this, this degree zero, and because of an extra degree from this guy, this is actually minus one shifted. Okay. Now I need to specify my differential, and my differential is going to be basically, again, describing this double complex. It's going to be d bar plus something else. Let me call this one delta. And delta will of the form that it involves a bunch of derivatives, like differential operators, and which applied to this H as well. So some kind of specialization in invariant differential operators. Could be in general, but let me say in this way for simplicity. And you get this from this data and a happy person for this BB algebra. And you want to do this kind of homotopic renormalization from this data. So we're going to work with some kind of starting from local functional, which involves only like holomorphic derivatives of the fields. That's somehow a chiral deformation. And I'm going to describe the data from basically this vertex algebra. So I'm going to associate a map from actually the dual of this vertex algebra, dual of this H. Again, this is going to be degree zero symplectic, to a local functional of the space of field. It's the most naive one because you see already that this involves, is expressed in terms of holomorphic derivatives, and that's what this one says. But in terms of formula, suppose I got a vertex operator here, and express in terms of this expression, like partial z explicitly, for example, is mapped to a functional. Let's call this one I hat from the fields, the number. And the way you evaluate these fields, again, just by the formula, is the same thing as doing this kind of integrals, dz watch. All these kind of possible expressions, like partial z, a1. Now you can, it's less in the dual, so you can pair a1 something here with the element b, a1 phi, and so on. And integrate, and that's that you get the chiral interaction. Just for notation, I mean, that's, I hope it's clear from the expression. Okay. Now, that's going to be our starting point. This unhappy person I had acquired interaction. Any question on this? Now, I want to find the solution to quantum mass equations and describe what is equation really mean in practice. Yes?
Potentially, you could have confirmed laws.
Okay. Ah, yes. That's probably a better, yeah, that's, that should be a better way of saying this. Of a particular conformal blocks and, well, and local.
Imagine like a school to a surface with some bundle for
H. Yeah. Yes.
So that's basically conformal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be like,
I think, like, space E on that. Yeah. And then
functions on E. Differential
cube plus H bar delta. Plus whatever comes in the interaction. And it's cohomology. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
on this
theorem.
Yeah. So it'll
be
just
the
cohomology of all E.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to use the, well, basic, most naive one, you're going to use the Hick-Carlo cutoff. For example. And replacing these delta functions basically by a Hick-Carlo. Pass something homotopy. For example, this is like H is the commutator of D bar and D bar star. With respect to the flat metric. That's a very standard regularization you can do. And different choice of the homotopy related by, let's call this one P from L, some kind of regularized propagator. And that's the propagator you're gonna connect different choice of this regularization, for example. And the first theorem is that the theory basically is C-way finite. It's not surprising in the following sense. It basically starts from any higher interactions.
This is actually a
free theory. This is the interacting part. This is the interaction part of the theory, yeah.
You are adding those symbols to that.
Yeah, yeah, that's my column. You've got to go my chiral deformation, yes. Yeah, sorry, yeah, I really mean that. I start from the free theory, for example, and look at these chiral deformations and become an interacting theory. And
so try the deformation is going to add the delta to the two?
Delta?
So where is the
delta? It's this I, the delta is part of the field theory. You were working on I of phi. That's
yes.
A polynomial in phi. Phi is the field.
Yeah. Just, you can forget about delta. If
so is it, that's what is B formalism, is the deformation of delta. Of the capital delta or the deformation of
Q? No, since it's the differential level, we'll have another
yeah.
Term given by the bracket of the interaction.
Yes.
It's the UV bracket. That one
right. Right, so you can also collect the capital delta.
Yeah.
I always think of it as a curvature.
Yeah.
Like bracket with I as a curvature. U plus delta.
Okay.
Yeah. So. But anyway, this is gonna be my interacting part. So in this interacting theory, it's UV finite in the sense that, for example, if you compute this kind of effective functional, this limit actually exists. And this is like, look at all the possible Feynman diagrams, basically. And this is my local interaction by this I hat. This is my effective propagator. And do this Feynman diagrams and takes all the summation of a possible connected graphs. This limit exists as a distribution. So in, say, this guy.
So this is where you know it's like power counting
non-normalizable? Yeah, it looks like a maybe divergent. But it's actually important that if you first do this Feynman diagram and then take the epsilon goes to their limit, it's the divergent part where we cancel it to each other before you take this limit. And that's the remarkable thing.
So you broke Clement symmetry.
Which one?
You broke Clement symmetry.
I broke the symmetry.
You broke Lorentz.
Lorentz? Lorentz? No Lorentz.
I mean, unless the sum of k's and the sum of...
All possible chiral, whatever you can write down. It's very general.
Shouldn't this have total dimension 1? You want this to be
domestic. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was on a flat. I think these theories are just defined on a flat circle with the choice of homomorphic
volume.
And
as
the
symmetries
of that.
It actually works for heterogeneous as well.
With these actions.
This is hard, yeah. This expression only works in the flat case. But the remarkable thing is, like, naively, you might think this is divergent by power counting, but actually, it is not. I mean, all the divergent terms are canceled out, but if you only turn on this chiral stuff, and by integration by parts, get canceled out and take the limit, this one exists. That's related to the fact that, for example, this is a work with J, we try to explain this what's happening. For example, on the Riemann surface, I try to explain to you what's happening. You look at this kind of shift. This is a shift of Meromorph functions, and this is D. This is like a shift of abelian differential of second kind. But this means like it may have some poles, but no order 2 pole. But there's a map from H1, A goes to H2, B, and you can integrate. That's the renormalized value of this guy, basically. So it can have a bunch of poles that possibly give you divergence, but they actually not. And that's the renormalized, this is renormalized Feynman diagram. Feynman diagram. Abelian differential of second kind. Yes, and this abelian differential of second kind. Yeah. So means like there's no order one pole. And this map actually can show this limit exactly shows this map. I mean, it's funny. This work with J. So you probably know a lot more than me on how this works. And actually, this example is computed by this way. So actually, it's a funny situation.
This is kind of a systematic perturbation.
Yes. So it means like originally, well, this one is unhappy, but now it actually becomes happy. This is UV finite. So, but again, requiring quantum mass equation require complicated chiral deformations. Now I will describe to you what's really controlling this quantum mass equation. Okay, so probably I should put my main theorem on this side. Probably.
To be clear, the interaction that you're deforming by, there's one special interaction that you're writing down.
Oh, all possible. Take all whatever you like here. All possible choice of chiral deformation you like. So this one is always finite.
No, it's a function of
yeah.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, but the point is like, what is an interesting deformation? I mean, you want to get something interesting, which is related to into this kind of quantum mass equation. Now, the main theorem is the following. That's the main theorem. That's one of the theorem which was done a couple of years ago. But here's the main theorem. Like, first, you start with some element in this Kyle stuff. And also with respect to HBAR corrections. Sorry, I used very bad notations, but hopefully it's clear. Yeah, I'm really sorry about this. But degree one. Okay. And I get local functional by this process. And also by this effective one, by this L and by this all this stuff I defined. The statement is the following. Then this family, so it's something living at each regularization, so on, satisfies quantum mass equation. In the sense I just described in the beginning, let me call this one homotopic or renormalized quantum mass equation. If and only if the following equation holds, this guy at the original point satisfies the following equation, like delta bracketing equals zero. Means like this guy operator is a more Markov element. In this kind of vertex algebra, in this Lie algebra. But this completely controls this effective renormalization. I mean, this is not how to see because what you see is going to be quantized in some way by electing or this kind of lack of edges and so on. It's computed by LP, exactly.
The same as the BRST cement of BVA. The homotopy remains consistent only if this is.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And it's actually 2D generalization of a so-called philosophy equation in the one-dimensional case for quantum mechanics. Second.
Can you show some examples?
Yeah, I'll give you a highly non-trivial example after this. Actually, like Poisson thickness model is one example. And I will show you a much more interesting example for this quantum beam model. Actually, this is not trivial. Secondly, it's like effective theory on zero mode, on this harmonic stuff, after integrating all the stuff, which is the same thing as letting L goes to infinity at some point, expanded. In terms of almost holomorphic modular form. And that's also the place you're going to see this holomorphic anomaly. And all things like that is going to be written down as something like a series, a finite expansion of this kind of expression. So it behaves like a modular form, but yes, and a holomorphic dependence on this kind of whenever you merge part of tau. And
okay,
yes, thank you. It always has this structure. And usually, like we'll do this kind of like a tau bar goes to infinity limit by if you only want to record this kind of holomorphic data, this limit basically pick up the first term. Now this one will be computed by some kind of acycle integrals. It's a quasi-modular form. And this is going to be important for computing some kind of chiral index later. Quasi-modular form in terms of some kind of acycle integrals. And here is one example of this calculation. So you look at some Feynman diagrams. You compute this, so you curve integral to the integral, you find this almost holomorphic modular form behind this expression. You take the limit, it becomes acycle integral. That's probably the usual thing you will do in this vertex algebra, compute some, whatever. That's one of the flavor of this theorem.
So this is like the scalar cube in the 5 cube interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that works. Yeah, but you need some corrections by. Yeah, that's exactly what appears as a leading term of the example I will show up, like the quantum B model, string field theory. Yes. Yes, Kurawa Spencer, yeah. Now I'll show you an example. It's a quantum B model on elliptic curve. Okay, great. So basically, we're going to discuss this B model, this Kurawa-Spencer theory, this kind of B field theory, that the inversion that I developed with Costello, generating this original B theory stuff, like a Clapeyron, and basically do this kind of B theory in a little bit generalized sense. That the space of field is going to be this kind of polyvector fields. With one more formal variable, which represents this gravitational descendants. You can write down some crazy direction for this guy and try to quantize it, get higher genus B model. I'll show you that this exactly works with minus one shifted. It's not simple structure, it's a degenerate Poisson structure. Degenerate. But it's okay, I mean. The same formula works. Now, in the current example, like this is going to be elliptic curve. And the data from this polyvector field gets down to the following stuff. Like first one is a double complex. I've just write it down explicitly for what's happening. So this is like a double complex with a one more formal variable t plus like a one vector. So this is one dimensional, so there's only one polyvector, holomorphic polyvector. I can choose my degree like that. So zero to polyvector, one polyvector, and that's the space of field, which is a huge field, which is okay. That actually makes the theory interesting. Okay, so in terms of data, I just described by this kind of chiral thing, like the H here can be described by, this is like a behavior like Fermion, so this is boson, so you got to write this H as something like a T and theta. So T has degree zero. I choose a different degree for convenience, yeah. BC system and beta gamma. It depends on the pairing. A bunch of.
Because it's formal variable T, you have infinitely many.
Yeah, but actually it's not. It's actually, most of the field will be background fields, not BC beta gamma. It's just a free boson plus a bunch of background fields. I write it down. Oh, yes, that's the interest. That's exactly the degenerate, yes. So, okay, but let me just finish what I want to say. Differential, the delta here basically is this kind of operator, which basically represents a divergence operator with respect to the like trivial Clavier structure. This divergence operator multiplied by T, and that's what this equation, or this operator says. Now, I will tell you like the OP structures and explain the degenerate data. So let me parameterize my field in terms of the modes by following. Okay. Look at all the modes. Okay. Theta, theta, okay. And the OP is computed in the following way. Only this one is going to be a derivation of the free boson. And all others are free, are zero. So like a background field. basically all this kind of stuff. A background field. I didn't say exactly the same, but it can do it in a similar way. The vertex algebra is just generated by this guy with some kind of a background field. So all this generates some kind of commutative vertex algebra, if you like. Now, how to find the interesting solution of a quantum mass equation and this Kyrie index and so on with respect to this mirror symmetry? That's actually the place where it's getting very weird. So this is the first place I don't understand is the following. So in order to construct a reasonable, interesting solutions of quantum mass equation mirror to this counting of Gomertian invariants, it turns out to be natural to combine the variable z and the descendant t into a holomorphic implied structure. I don't know why, but it just worked out in this way. First, and then how can I get a solution? The idea for this the construction is the following. Like, you can study the big like a markdown in this algebra for this BCW theory, but it turns out to be very complicated, and the obstruction space is not zero. You need some harder work to analyze the obstruction class. And we did something with the open string stuff. But we're going to do this one in a more straightforward way. The idea is that we just couple this background, to like a bilinear fermions. To reduce the DGLA to a smaller one, which is much easier to solve. And then later do this Bossonization. To get the full solution. I'll show you how this works. Can I have 5 more minutes or things like that? I apologize. A little bit more out of time. And this is the place where you see like the vertex, the interactions will be coupled to this kind of W algebras. I'll show you how this works. Let's start from this holomorphic symplectic. Let's cook up the following data. Like, let's repackage our background fields by P tutor. It turns out this is a good way of doing this, and I also don't know why, but it comes out of the calculation with this kind of Laplace transform, only for these background fields. Let's call this one P tutor and eta tutor. It's another way of just rewriting the same data for these background fields. And introduce the following differential ring. It's the differential ring with 2 generators. Exactly, well, I gotta use the same notations like a B tilta and eta tilta. So, for example, is this a ring structure is given by all the possible derivations of this B tilta and eta tilta? Explicitly, if you like. And if you do a deformation quantization for this simple structure, you got a Moyle product. From this deformation quantization. Now, then I'm gonna use this W algebra stuff. Like I'm gonna translate. So you're gonna find some functions of Z and T, and I'm gonna map this guy to bosonic vertex algebra using this bosonic representation of this W algebra. By, for example, this is a standard one. Looks like a DT behavior like a differential, so goes to 1 OK it's just a free boson, bosonic realization of this W infinity, 1 plus infinity. And D to the M, W A plus 1 stuff. It's in terms of this B0, which is the dynamical field. If you think about the B0 as a derivation of free boson.
So instead of free boson,
so this one looks like.
Yeah,
you can do either fermions or bosons. But
like
size,
like
K,
Z0.
This is like just a derivation for this, like something like that. In terms of fermions, it's something like that. It goes to bosons. So this one, this is a generator of this W1 plus infinity. So it behaves like, in terms of bosons, it behaves like I want to write in terms of boson because this boson is the stuff from this BCOA field. So it behaves like a normal order stuff, like a B0 to the power of K plus some corrections. I have a very explicit formula for this one. And then using this map and this observation, you get the following DGOA morphism. So get this map, roughly speaking, a map from this B. This is a DGOA from this. This commutator is with respect to this Moyo product to this vertex algebra. And delta in a bracket. So basically, you get elements here, you just expand them in terms of powers of t, and then using this bosonization to get this dynamical field, B0, and combine everything. This map is a map of DGOA. So to get a solution of quantum mass equation here, you only need to do something on this side, which is actually much easier. So the proposition is the following. There exists a unique solution solution of Mori carbon element in B, let's call this one JB, such that of course the first one is the Mori carbon equation with respect to this Moyo product. Second, I require an initial condition somehow. I'll explain this later, but it's like starting points from this eta plus, eta tilde plus terms with derivatives with partial t. This is the initial condition, and plus some gauge fixing. Basically, if you analyze anything like up to gauge fixing, and plus the final condition has some kind of rescaling symmetry. So I didn't explain, but it's related to this so-called Hodge weight and this dilaton equation. You can find a unique solution from this one in a very easy way. It's just either by a cohomology argument and by an explicit calculation.
So like?
Yes, I will write it down now. So this is the interesting part. Now, I don't have a closed formula for full data, but there's a very important data, which is actually already illustrating stationary sector. So you look at a particular sector, like you freeze the background in some way. So set. Or this kind of thing, because it becomes zero, and this is constant. So basically, freeze the background and try to look at what this action function look like in this case. And the answer is very simple. Under this this simplified, this easy background, the action function look like this. It's a k. This w k plus 1. Adjust this formula in terms of this dynamical boson. And this quantum mass equation is the same thing as saying that this current basically commutes. equivalent to this guy.
What is it as an action? As an interaction? Supposed to be a worker separator?
What?
What am I doing as a function of the field as opposed to a
print? This one? So this is, yeah, we use this background as a coupling constant.
What do you apply your theorem would be this as a function of P0?
Integrate over the whole surface. You could get a trace of some kind of characters.
No.
No? Well, what do you mean?
You've written in a current.
You this is current.
That's a current, yeah.
Yes.
You have a theorem saying currents are the same as local functionals.
Yes.
So what's a local function?
Oh, it's like the same thing, but it's just what you did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that W.
Yeah, this is like in the Bool complex, so. Yeah, that's explicitly what's happening. Yeah. But by identifying this functional with the current, it's just like same thing as this one. So the effective renormalized quantum mass equation, same thing as this. This kind of thing commutes. And that's somehow this we know stuff, like you find some kind of generators of this W1 plus infinity. And in particular, the polynomial functions, you can compute it by the trace. The generating function. Oh, but by the way, that's the reason I feel like this developer extreme vertex somehow explains integrable hierarchy for some reason, but I don't know exactly how. The developer goes to infinity, you get some trace of this kind of over this vertex operators and Q, the usual stuff. this vertex exponential of this kind of whatever here. This computes basically Gromitian invariants. This is a calculation by Okunkov, Pantari Panda. Oh, let me stop here. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, 10 minutes past.
Further questions? Is that your reason for introducing the C2?
I don't know. This is actually the main thing I want to understand. Like, why? I'll look at this superstring on like a two-dimensional target. I want to combine this target with the descendant to be a holomorphism polytope.
Right, right.
I don't know why. I mean, it just happens to be, but something weird to me, actually.
This type of the appearance of that infinity.
What?
Somehow this is type of the appearance of that infinity. Why is that infinity?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Is there anything we ask you this all the time? Complex dimension 2?
I haven't tried much yet. Yeah, it's a little bit more subtle than this. Yeah.
You do a
tenure
instead of tenure.
Take the what?
Tenure.
What is tenure?
Tenure, I mean.
Yeah,
it's a sphere with three
punctures. Sphere with three punctures.
I mean, well, like, you can understand how to cut Riemann surfaces.
Yes, it's. Oh, I mean, the gluing things. Yeah.
Like, you mean about. Yeah, the things that people do for the topological vertex.
Yes.
Do you think they can be made rigorous?
Well, I think so. This kind of lecture, the structure actually works for all the Riemann surfaces. And I just explained this elliptic case for this index, but I think so, but I haven't thought much about this. Yeah.
It's not public
language. Thank you.